So in today's gospel, Jesus advises us to go and take the lowest place. Now, when it comes to Holy Mass, a lot of Catholics don't seem to have a problem taking the cheap seats, right? But when it comes to everything else, from concerts and games to seats on the airplane to parking spots, we often want that front row, the best view, and we'll get there early just to get them. So what does that say about our priorities? I'm just saying, right? My dad was shameless on using his handicap sticker for parking that he got, you know, he got for some knee problems he had later in life. He would use it even in the golf course. We're about to play 18 holes, and he didn't want to walk from the parking lot to the clubhouse. So anyway, because the readings focus on humility, I want to focus today's homily on that often misunderstood virtue. It's a virtue we sorely need in today's society, isn't it? Right? It's the antidote for the sense of entitlement that a lot of folks seem to have. Well, we left off last week's gospel with Jesus saying, "Behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last." Now we're on the following chapter in Luke this week, and Jesus gives us today's illustrations that shed light on how we are to act in relation to our fellow brothers and sisters in the human family. In essence, what Jesus is driving at is that we are not supposed to try to outdo one another, except, you know, when it's in the spirit of competition by which we better one another and bring out the best in each other. That's, of course, different, right? That's what Proverbs says is, as iron sharpens iron, so man sharpens his fellow man. That's part of that whole thing. You know, football season is here, right? I celebrated Mass this weekend with Coach Harbaugh and the Catholic players on the staff and the staff on the team. I emphasized to them that we should order our competitive spirit in football to better ourselves and one another to increase our life of virtue. And so to the extent that our competitive spirit detracts from that life of virtue, but instead instills vice, that's not good. So we aren't supposed to try to outdo one another in the way that belittles the people around us, but rather sharpens them, because God calls us to have an attitude of love and service toward our fellow members of the human family. The commandment to love your neighbor as yourself is part and parcel to the greatest commandment of loving God. They're inseparable. And what does it mean to love? Right? I've mentioned the simple definition of what it means to love another person a few times. Now, St. Thomas Aquinas says that to love someone is to will that person's good. It's a very simple definition. To love another is to will their good. Love is not some feeling of warm fuzzies for somebody. Right? In fact, love proves itself when the warm fuzzies aren't there and you nonetheless desire and act in accord with that person's good. Right? That's why Jesus said in the gospel not to invite your friends or relatives or wealthy neighbors to lunch or dinner. In other words, the people who can repay you, but invite the people who can't repay you, the poor, the crippled, the lame. When you do that, that's when you know for sure that you're doing it for their good and not for your own good. That's why the cross, the crucifix, is the ultimate symbol of authentic love. It's Jesus desiring our good, not because of anything he will be getting out of it. He's God, you know, we can't add to his glory. Yet he nevertheless acts for our good, even if it means that great personal cost, the sacrifice of his own life. So brothers and sisters, that takes humility. But what we often see today is the opposite of humility, that is entitlement. Instead of willing the other's good, we will our own good over and above the good of others, even if it means at the cost of others. It's this spirit of me above others, instead of Jesus' spirit of offering myself in sacrificial love for others, that keeps the world in strife and division. Right? We'll never have peace in a toxic environment that is devoid of the gospel's demand that we exhibit the spirit of humility. and love for one another. It's God who makes that demand of us. So when we take God out of the picture, each of us is prone to the temptation of becoming our own God, who looks at the world from a me-centric perspective, as opposed to a God-centric perspective, right? But satisfying our own selfish whims is not how God created us to find happiness and fulfillment. I mean, have you ever seen a happy, entitled person? They might have a pleasurable life, but are they truly happy? Because if you're entitled, if you have a sense of entitlement, you're always entitling yourself to more than what you have. That's depressing, right? Entitlement is the surest way to live a depressing life, because you're never satisfied and you always think you deserve more. We're made in the image and likeness of God, who is love, who in his very being is a relationship of person. So giving ourselves in love, that's the way to happiness and fulfillment. When God gives us the commandment to love, he's basically telling us to act in accord with who you are, right? Act in accord with whom I have made you to be. But in a fallen world with very imperfect people like you and me, that way of love entails the cross, just as it did for Jesus. That way of love is the narrow gate through which we enter into eternal glory. And walking on this road of discipleship, of following Jesus, it takes humility, right? Humility is what makes the betterment of the human family possible, because humility doesn't promote the attitude of, you know, every man for himself, but instead, every man for the sake of others. And that is the attitude that conforms to how God has made us. It's the attitude that God, the Son, himself took, right? As St. Paul said, Jesus did not deem equality with God something to be grasped, but rather he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in the likeness of men. He humbled himself, becoming obedient even to the point of death, death on a cross. When we humble ourselves in service of our fellow brothers and sisters, God, the host of that heavenly banquet, right, will see our humility and approach you and say, at that definitive wedding feast, my friend, move up to a higher position. And so we avoid the temptation of our original parents, who, what? Took the fruit rather than received it. Took the fruit because they wanted it from themselves, as opposed to having the humility to wait and receive that even greater reward from the Lord of divinization, of being God with God, as opposed to trying to be God without God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humble, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted.